Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Ready? See if you can identify these 5 clips in the order that they're played. It could be from a song, a movie, a TV show, or something else. But if it's coming from this podcast, then you know that it's from Generation X. Listen closely. Good luck.
The fight date been set yet?
December 25th.
Hey, look, that one's got a cute little stripe on its head.
Heart to heart and hand in hand.
You are trespassing on the lands of the Winter Warlock.
And welcome to Who Will Save Generation X, the trivia game show that is dedicated to remembering, celebrating, and preserving all the wonderful qualities of Generation X through games, trivia, and friends. I am Xavier Host, and today we have 2 great contestants ready to compete for ultimate slacker prizes, and in the process do their part to save Generation X from being forgotten. Are you ready to do your part? Please play along with the contestants while you listen and see what rad prize you would have wanted if you were here with us, saving Generation X from fading into oblivion. We're so happy that you've chosen to join us, and I'm sure you're going to get a nice dose of nostalgia and maybe a few laughs along the way. So if everyone's ready, let's start the show. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas, everyone. This is our 3rd annual Christmas special episode. I'm super excited to have these 2 returning guests onto the show as we share our memories of Christmas time during Generation X. Even if you don't celebrate Christmas, or maybe you're not a Gen Xer, there's something here for everyone, I hope. But if you like reminiscing about the movies A Christmas Story, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, as well as Christmas specials from Generation X, like Star Wars Holiday Special, then this episode is one you might especially like.
Especially like.
Hey, Zabe.
I hear you. Hit it.
Nice. We're going to save the pop culture nostalgia of Generation X from being forgotten today with the host of one of my favorite shows called Retro Rewind Podcast. Let's give a very quick hello to each of them now. Let's first welcome to the show a member of Gen Y, whose appearance at age 19 made him look much older than he was and was employed as a kind of narc trying to see if stores would get them to sell booze when he was underage. Please welcome back Francisco. Hi, Francisco.
Hello, everyone. I'm here to bring back my title of winner that Paul stole from me in the previous time we matched up on this show. So I'm coming for you, apologypowers.com.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. So you know that you're going to lose today.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see that you will lose. In fact, you might as well just surrender to me and I'll accept.
See, this is how the younger generation thinks. That's the problem.
Walked right into that.
So you were 19, Francisco, but you looked over 21 to try and get like...
Exactly, because like my hairline was going already and I had a huge terrorist-sized beard and was very overweight. So I think I looked like I was 30.
So you had a kind of like bizarro 21 Jump Street thing going.
Is that yes, exactly. All right. Though without the cool Johnny Depp vibes.
Turn them all into bizarros like me. This bizarro ray all me need.
And let's also welcome back to the show Francisco's co-host and a Gen Xer who has made an appearance in the 2002 Spider-Man movie and several appearances on the improv TV show Whose Line Is It Anyway? And by appearances, I mean he can be seen somewhere in a crowd shot while watching the show. Please welcome to the podcast, Patreon supporter, PaulJPowers.com.
PaulJPowers.com.
Hi, Paul J. Powers.
Hello. Thank you for having me on again. And now as Francisco, I don't know why he's a glutton for punishment, but he invited me on as a rematch of this. And, you know, as a Gen Xer myself, my memory is getting old. And so I may not be able to recollect the things that I should. So I thought, here's a chance, you know, for a younger person to whoop up on me. You know what? I'll take one for the team as long as it helps save Generation X.
Hey, Grandpa, don't set this up to be a Logan Paul, Mike Tyson match, okay? We are equally paired. Uh-huh. If I win, you can't say, oh, I'm old. And if you win, you can't say, oh, well, I don't know what you would say, because you're not going to win. So we don't have to worry about that.
Well, we already established I am old, so.
Getting too old for this stuff?
Yeah. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Before we start the show, let's give a quick overview of how we play the game. The show is broken up into three rounds of trivia and games. Whoever has the most points at the end of round three will win a chance at today's Rad Slacker Prize. There's no guarantees on winning prizes here, guys. It's just a chance to win.
Right. I remember for last time.
Yeah.
The power.
Struggle.
In the opening of this episode, you heard five quick clips from Generation X. The game is called Power Struggle, and in this game, you need to name those five clips in the order that they were played. At any time during the episode, contestants can interrupt the game and declare that they want to solve the Power Struggle question. They only get one chance to answer it correctly, and if they are correct, then they instantly steal the power away from their opponent. And as an added wrinkle to the game, if you solve the Power Struggle, you'll be awarded a whopping 20 bonus points to your score. We'll play the clip a couple of times during the episode, so listen closely and see if you can solve the Power Struggle. We're going to jump right into round one now and get the games rolling.
Round one.
Now, guys, most games wait for their final round to bust out the lightning round. But since we're Gen Xers, we make up our own rules, and we're going to start with lightning round.
Watch out, Paul. I'm so good at lightning rounds.
Are you kidding? I majored in lightning rounds.
We call this game What the Blank.
What the fuck?
Blank.
The game is I have a list of fill-in-the-blank statements, and I will read to you. You will have 1 minute to give as many correct answers as possible within the time limit. You'll score 1 point for each correct answer. If you get stuck, say pass, and we'll come back to it if there's enough time. Each list has a theme and a total of 10 fill-in-the-blank statements. At the end, for each unanswered fill-in-the-blank, your opponent will get a chance to answer them and steal whatever points you leave them. The winner of round one will receive the power.
The power.
Which allows the player who has it to make all the choices in the game first and wins all ties for as long as they control the power. We played a fun-filled game of Junkyard Juggernauts backstage to see who will go first, and Paul J. Powers was able to take out the Warlord, played by Francisco, and
I'm not the Warlord!
Exactly what the Warlord would say.
Wait, listeners, you're not familiar with Junkyard Juggernauts? Well, just keep listening and you will be. Paul, you'll get us started on What the Blank by picking out one of the two themes available to you. Whichever one you don't pick will automatically go to Francisco. Will you choose? Is this really a Christmas movie, though? Or will you pick
the CBS special?
audio clue.
Okay. As much as I know about Die Hard, that second one scares me. Let's go to the second one.
All right. You've chosen. When we heard that sound, we knew it was time to keep the TV on that station because the holiday special was about to come on. All the following 10 fill-in-the-blanks will be titles of television Christmas specials.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. Just a reminder, this game might be more fun to play at home if you fill in the blank with a dirty word.
Just like Mad Libs.
Yeah, but just not here, Paul J. Powers. This is a family show.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, Power Rangers, let's do it!
Those listening to the podcast, I gotta warn you, Paul also has a little soundbox machine and also loves to play little sound clips. So,
Dyke.
Let's put 1 minute on the clock. Santa Claus is coming to blank.
Town.
Right. Star Wars blank special.
Holiday.
Blank Charlie Brown Christmas.
A.
Right. Blank the snowman.
Frosty.
Correct. Blank the Grinch stole Christmas.
How?
Blank's Christmas Carol.
Mr. Magoo.
Wrong.
I challenge, but go ahead.
Emmett Otter's Jug Band. Blank.
Pass.
A blank Brady Christmas.
Very.
Correct. Blank's Christmas Carol. Okay.
Baby Smurfs.
I know that one.
You still missed four, Paul.
So that dang it.
That opens the door for Francisco.
Here we go.
So I'm going to read you them, Francisco, and you give me your answer.
Okay.
Seven was Blank's Christmas Carol.
Mickey's.
Correct. Number eight was Emmett Otter's Jug Band Blank.
Christmas?
Correct. And here's the one we didn't get to. Santa and the Three Blanks.
I know this one. Can I steal it back?
Santa and the Three Blanks, Francisco.
Dwarves.
It's incorrect.
Oh.
So
bears.
Bears is correct, PaulJPowers.com. Santa and the Three Bears. Did you guys ever see that one?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, years ago when it came on TV back in the 80s.
I love Santa and the Three Bears. I thought it was great. Nakomi and Chinook? No, guys?
I'll have to rewatch it.
Yeah, I love that one.
Say, do you believe in Santa Claus? I sure do.
And Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol is legit, but it's not one word, so I'll give it to you.
Right. Okay, thank you. Got out of that one.
I think you should dock him points for like...
Mr. Magoo was the first Christmas special before any of them.
Antagonizing the host. Yeah, that's what...
I'm sorry. Too much testosterone.
Okay, Francisco, this one's for you. There is a controversy as to what is and is not a Christmas movie.
Is there?
All of the following 10 fill-in-the-blanks will be movie titles from Generation X that are questionable Christmas movies. That is, some people might question whether or not they qualify as a truly Christmas movie or not.
Fair.
These people who don't love Christmas or movies might say that.
Also fair.
Okay, let's put 1 minute back on the clock. Batman Blanks.
Returns.
Correct. First blank.
Pass.
Blank Princess Bride.
The
Blanking Places.
Trading.
Right. Blanker Off Dead.
Better.
Correct. The Blank Boy Scout.
Last.
Correct. Less Blank Zero.
Pass.
Blank Weapon.
Lethal.
Correct. Rocky Blank.
Balboa.
Incorrect. Gremlins 2, the new blank.
Batch.
Correct. Let's go back to the one you picked on. Oh, sorry. That's very good, Francisco. You're very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you only left three for PaulJPowers.com. Paul, do you know the answers to these fill in the blanks?
No.
The seminal Christmas classic, First Blank.
Scrooge.
First Scrooge is incorrect, surprisingly. First Blood.
Oh, yes. Oh,
I don't remember that being.
Yes.
Okay. Does it take place during Christmas? I don't remember.
Yes.
Okay. So,
yeah, he blows away a bunch of Christmas lights with his M60.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
That's about as Christmas as it got.
Yeah.
That, and there's like a Santa Claus poster or something like that hanging in the background of one of the police stations. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the Princess Bride has a couple of Christmas decorations in the background that if you blink, you miss them.
And if you really think about it, it's just a big allegory for there's no room in the inn. That's the Mary and Joseph story. Rambo just wants something to eat, and the sheriff says, hey, get out of this town. We got no room for you here.
Totally a Christmas movie.
Seven was less blank zero.
Than.
That is correct. Well done. And nine was Rocky Blank.
Two.
Rocky Two is incorrect. Oh,
is it three?
I'm not telling you. This information might come up later.
Okay, cool.
But all the people listening right now, they all know it, and they're all shouting it out at their podcast players, and you should feel bad right now, Paul.
Bumpuses!
We will reveal that later in the show for sure, so keep listening.
Okay.
Hey, Robin, can you give us a fair and accurate recount of the points that have been scored so far in the round one?
Of course, I would never do it another way. Paul J. Bowers has 8 points. Francisco is just ahead of him with 9.
Congratulations, Francisco.
Ooh, right. I feel powerful. Why is that?
Why do you feel powerful? Because you've won round one, and that means you have the power.
The power is yours.
Before we start round two, let's take a moment to better meet our contestants. The judges are the gatekeepers of all things Gen X here on the show. And to that end, they are requesting to know from our contestants about their Gen X credentials.
Who, may I ask, are you?
That is, apart from being born between 1965 and 1980, what qualifies you to claim yourself as part of Generation X, and what might potentially disqualify you from being Gen X? And since this is a Christmas episode, we'll try and theme the credentials by asking you, is there any kind of particular Gen X tradition or gift that you'd like to include here? Maybe that could be part of your disqualifier or qualifier. Welcome to the show, Francisco. Please tell us a little bit about yourself. Please also include your Gen X qualifiers and potential disqualifiers.
Hello. Again, thank you so much, Dave, for having me on. And people claim that I'm not a member of Gen X, but according to the law offices of Howe and Mandel and Demi, they've ranged the Gen X to ending in 1981. So I think I am actually a Gen Xer. Also, according to my credentials here on this beautiful piece of paper, according to the Certificate of Authenticity, Francisco Ruiz got machine guns. And for Christmas presents, not real ones, the play machine guns. He got those for Christmas one year and was playing army with his brothers, along with some G.I. Joes. And so that perfectly qualifies me for Gen X.
Did it have the orange cap on it?
I don't remember. They were green.
Okay, because mine didn't. That's what qualifies me as Gen X.
Then we'll say they didn't. We'll say they didn't. Yeah. No, memory's coming back to me. I'm sorry. I'm a little old being Gen X and all, so I can't remember some things.
I see.
So, yeah.
It's the geriatric battles now. Okay. But
what may not qualify me is that I also vividly remember getting an N64 for Christmas when I was still a youth. So that's, I think, a little outside the bubble.
Just a bit outside.
Yeah.
100% outside the bubble.
Or a little, maybe 1% outside. Maybe.
I think you just outed yourself.
That's definitely a young man's video game console. But for sure, Paul, that's a great point. If they had the orange cap on the end of your pretend guns, then, you know, that might be a disqualifier from being Gen X. But Francisco, we can't prove one way or another, so we'll be glad to accept you as...
No, I can't. Certificate of Authenticity right here. What are you talking about?
I'm glad to have you. It checks out. Judges, well done. I mean, the calendar might disagree with you, but, you know, we'll welcome you on the show.
Calendar Schmalinger.
And also welcome to the show, pauljpowers.com.
Pauljpowers.com.
Please tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, and please include your Christmas Gen X qualifiers and potential disqualifiers.
Yes, I am pauljpowers.com. A little bit about myself. You know what? This actually happened today, and I didn't know this. My wife pointed out that my impression of Sir Patrick Stewart is the same as Sean Connery. Okay, so now judge for yourself. Patrick Stewart as Picard, the line must be drawn here. All right? Now, yeah. Sean Connery, the line must be drawn here. It's the same.
Can you say welcome to the Rock in both of those?
Welcome to the Rock. Yeah, they're both the same. Sorry. A Gen X qualifier. You know, I enjoyed the Christmas specials when they came on TV as a kid. Especially like the TV ones like Alvin and the Chipmunks, Pac-Man Christmas. Plus, you know, a lot of those older, like there was a Raggedy Ann one that came out. And there's like a couple of Smurf ones. And, you know, Yogi's First Christmas. All those watched on TV back in the day qualifies me as Gen X. What doesn't qualify me? I haven't seen the Three Bears in decades, but I have saw the Three Bears, so I don't know. I don't like the movie Elf. Still thinking about that. Pass.
Paul, if you combined your impression with Francisco's hairline, you could have a total celebrity impersonation of Patrick Stewart. I think it's dead on. Well done.
Oh, thank you.
I resemble that comment.
Quite well, yes.
That's the Chicago way. That's how you get the ball.
Judges, do these contestants have the qualifications to continue to be on the show? Well done, guys. You can stay.
Oh, thank you.
Before we start round two, let's take another listen to the power struggle.
The fight date been set yet?
December 25th.
Hey, look at that one's got a cute little stripe on its head.
Heart to heart and hand in hand.
You are trespassing on the lands of the Winter Warlock.
Oh,
Round two is a game we call It Is Enough. In this game, I will ask a total of 8 questions, 4 to each of our contestants. Points are awarded for each correct answer, 2 points for a complete correct answer, and 1 possible pity point for a partial correct answer if they can convince the judges for it. Players take turns answering questions first with a chance to steal if their opponent's answer is incorrectly. A steal is worth 1 point, but more importantly, a steal also takes the power away from their opponent. The judges require that all questions must be given an answer, no matter how incorrect it might be. Stop trying to make me laugh. If you say some form of I don't know here in the show, then you'll get slimed. Whoever has the most points at the end of round two will take a secret trip to the prize vault and choose the prize that the two of you will be playing for in this episode. Okay, Francisco, you have the power. That means you get to pick between these two questions. The first question title is a long distance request called... It is a music question.
Oh, interesting.
Or will you choose, I thought you'd be bigger, which is a movie question.
This is my meta game. I'm going to pick the one that seems harder, which would be the music question, in hopes that it's actually a softball. So I'm going to go with the beep boop boop of R2-D2, which may backfire me greatly.
Well, this question was submitted to us from fan favorite Dr. Robert, who has been on the show several times. Thank you, Doc Rob.
Yeah, he's great.
The Star Wars Holiday Special.
Most members of our generation remember the debacle that was the Star Wars Holiday Special. It featured music loosely inspired by Star Wars, the first ever appearance of Boba Fett, as well as Chewbacca's dad named Itchy watching VR porn.
Oh, we are excited, aren't we? Well, just relax. Just relax. Yeah. Now, we can have a good time, can't we?
Yeah.
The Star Wars Holiday Special, originally broadcast by CBS on November 17th, 1978, was only aired once on TV and never again. You had to be there or you missed it. Despite all the masterpiece of holiday novelty nightmare fuel that gave this special to the galaxy far, far away, it's still more watchable than the sequel trilogy will ever be.
Shots fired.
Here's your question. Of all the holiday-themed Star Wars-inspired songs that were recorded during Generation X, which of the following made an appearance on the Billboard Hot 100 chart in the United States? Was it A, This Minute Now, performed by Diane Carroll as she was seducing Itchy? B, Good Night But Not Goodbye, performed by B. Arthur in the Cantina? C, A Day to Celebrate, the Life Day song, performed by Carrie Fisher? Or is it D, the song by the Star Wars Intergalactic Droid Choir called What Can You Get a Wookiee for Christmas When He's Already Got a Comb?
I'm going to guess... I think B was the one by B. Arthur. I forget the name that you said, but I think it is that one.
Yeah, we're not really creative, so we just made B for B. Arthur.
Works.
That's my final answer, Regis.
So you're thinking in the late 70s, a song by B. Arthur made the Hot 100 chart?
The other one. Here's why I'm saying that, because that's the only one that I remember from watching it. So that's it sticks out in that way. So that's why I'm saying it.
Okay. Well, I tried to help you, Francisco. You're incorrect.
Dang it.
Do I get a chance to steal?
You get a chance to steal and also steal the power that was so hard earned by Francisco.
I'm going to give this question an A and choose A.
Well, you should give it a D because you're incorrect.
Dang it.
The correct answer is, of course, D. What can you get a Wookiee for Christmas when you already owns a comb?
The droid band.
I thought you made that one up.
Yeah, I thought so too.
This is the only one on the list that was not in the Star Wars Holiday Special. I just went to great lengths to tell you how awful the special was.
Right.
How could it possibly get a song on the Hot 100?
Well, with the title like that, I thought you made it up.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't make up squat. This is a question from fan favorite Doc Robert.
That's true.
We thought Doc Robert made it up.
There you go.
I can see why.
Good job, Doc.
Yes, indeed. I need a prescription for how to answer that question.
This song was featured on Christmas in the Stars, Star Wars Christmas album, believe it or not, which was a record album produced in 1980 by RSO Records. It features recordings of Star Wars-themed Christmas songs and stories about a droid factory where the robots made toys year-round for S-Claws. It is such a ridiculous premise that I'm shocked Rian Johnson didn't steal it for The Last Jedi. It would have been an improvement. Paul J. Powers, this question's for you.
Yes.
It's called I Thought You'd Be Bigger. It is a movie question.
No, this is not a question about bouncers at the Double Deuce.
You know, I thought you'd be bigger.
It's about A Christmas Carol. Originally published in 1843, Charles Dickens' story about charity and redemption has stood the test of time. His cautionary tale about ignoring poverty and the importance of bringing goodwill to all is as relevant today as it was in Victorian England. But if I'm sitting through a Charles Dickens adaptation, it had better either have some freaking Muppets or some classic Disney cartoon characters in it, okay?
Okay.
I'll accept nothing less, except for maybe Mr. Magoo.
yeah, Charlie.
Here's your question. In Mickey's Christmas Carol, which Disney character played the ghost of Christmas past? This is a multiple choice.
Okay.
Is it A, Jagoofy? B, Jiminy Cricket? C, Willie the Giant? D, Pete? Or is it E, Keith, the pilot for the Black Line on the Voltron Force?
And I'll form the head.
Oh,
E.
Yeah, well, I'll go with G, Jiminy Cricket.
How do you spell Jiminy?
With a J.
Okay. That is correct. That's 2 points for you. Well done.
Thank you.
Here's your fun fact. The short was largely adapted from Disney's 1975 radio adaptation of A Christmas Carol.
Oh.
In that version, the Ghost of Christmas Past was played by Merlin, and the Ghost of Christmas Future was played by the Evil Queen from Snow White. However, here in the 21st century, I think it's high time for a Voltron retelling of the Dickens classic, Pidge Could Be Tiny Tim.
Yep.
Three lame space mice could get on each other's shoulders and put on a trench coat and be the Bob Cratchit. Okay. And King Zarkon as Ebenezer Scrooge could learn a very valuable lesson about life and love at the end.
Yeah,
and
I like
he's
it.
Old enough.
Yes.
Would watch.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I've seen worse.
Like Mr. Magoo's adaptation.
Hey now, maybe.
Francisco, you have retained the power and you get to pick between these two questions. Will it be a Griswold fun old-fashioned family Christmas, which is a movie question? Or will it be Does Robin Know? A millennial challenge minigame.
That sounds fun, but I'm going to go with one. I'm going to go for points. So Griswold, please.
All right. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is the third installment of the Vacation franchise and the last one to be written by John Hughes. Clark Griswold is at it again, overcomplicating already stressful events and setting too high expectations on big family events, this time during the Christmas family reunion. In classic Griswold style, events slowly get out of hand until absolute chaos ensues after Clark opens his Christmas bonus from his boss. Your question is, what did Clark receive as his Christmas bonus? Was it A, a subscription to the Jelly of the Month Club? B, a one-year subscription to the Fragrant Soap Monthly Club? C, a 12-month subscription to the Cheeses of the World Club? D, a magazine subscription to National Geographic? Or is it E, nothing but a Christmas holiday card and a Christmas blessing?
The blessing!
I'll pull up Paul and say J, Jelly of the Month Club.
There you go.
That is correct. The Jelly of the Month Club. Option J is correct.
Good job, Francisco.
Thank you, Paul.
Gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Following the release of this movie, the term Griswold House became a phrase to describe that house in the neighborhood who has overdone it with Christmas lights. But real fans might simply just say, it's a beaut, Clark. It's a beaut. Okay, Paul, this next question is for you. It's a game that asks the question, does Robin know? In this game, we are going to pick a totally random millennial from the audience and ask them three Gen X general knowledge questions, and the contestants will take turns answering if they think the millennial will know the answer or not. Pretty simple. But if the contestants guess correctly, they will score 1 point and receive a related trivia question for a potential 2 point bonus. However, if they get it wrong and our millennial gets it correct, they will lose 2 points. We got our pick between Francisco or Robin. Since this question is called Does Robin Know? We're going to go with Robin.
Sounds good.
The game is designed to ask the average millennial an easy-ish question, but take note, there's nothing average about Robin. She is exceptional. So keep that in mind as we play. So, Paul, you get question one. Do you think Robin will know the answer to this question? Robin, how you feeling?
You know, we'll see what you go with, but I feel like I know a lot about Christmas stuff. We'll see.
Okay. Here's your question. What holiday are they celebrating in the Star Wars holiday special? PaulJPowers.com. Do you think Robin will know what holiday they are celebrating in the special?
That's a tough one.
Because it's not called a Christmas special.
No, special. It's a holiday special because I know. But you know what? I don't know how much she was paying attention earlier when you actually said it. So I'm going to say, you know what, Robin, I believe in you. I'm going to say she does know.
Okay. Robin, what is that holiday?
If I remember when you said it earlier, I think it was Life Day.
Yes.
Life Day is correct. That's
well done
for you, Paul.
Woo! I was sweating there.
That's the spirit. You'll be celebrating Life Day before you know it.
Paul, here's your 2-point bonus question. When is Life Day observed in North America? Here's your multiple choice. Is it A, the first Sunday after Thanksgiving? B, the first Sunday before Christmas? C, December 24th? D, November 17th? Or is it E, August 69th?
69, dudes!
Shoot. Well, I know if my internet friends are correct, it's already passed at the time of the recording of this. But the people listening, you don't know when that is, so that doesn't help you at all. So, but anyway, it narrows my choice down between A and D. I'm going to say D.
November 17th? Are you sure?
Yes. No.
Okay.
But yes.
I mean, that's when it came out, so that kind of makes sense, but.
Yeah. Thanks, Francisco. You're correct.
Yeah, good.
Life Day is indeed observed in North America on November 17th. The rumor is that they don't celebrate Life Day at all in England because Life Day is a time of friendship, family, and joy. And although I'm sure the British love their friends and family, it is impossible to feel joy when your dinner consists mostly of unseasoned boiled meat.
Come on, Mala, let's see a little smile. There, that's better. Try to enjoy your Life Day.
I'm sure our two British listeners know what I'm talking about. You guys once conquered half of the world for their spices, and you never learned to put some in your freaking food.
That's fair.
Reach out to us two British listeners and tell us if you celebrate Life Day across the pond or not. Francisco, this is your question.
Okay.
In Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, they don't have turkey for Christmas dinner. They have this other main course chunk of meat instead. Robin, what is that called?
So I know what it is, but I just found out what it is.
Lame.
So given that, I'm going to say Robin doesn't know it. Does not know the answer.
Okay, so if you are incorrect and Robin does know the correct answer, you're going to lose
I'll
2 points.
2 points, yeah.
Okay, Robin, what is that chunk of meat called?
Do they talk about it in the Ron Howard remake? Because that was prime of my age. I was obsessed with the Ron Howard remake.
I have no idea because I don't watch remakes.
Oh, fair enough, fair enough. It is the roast beast.
Roast beast is correct.
Curses!
Francisco, you lose points. That means you get slimed.
No. Oh, it doesn't smell as bad as I thought.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
Probably tastes like oatmeal. Go ahead. Try
I'm not going to taste it. I feel all gunky.
So because Francisco got that incorrect, his guess on Robin, we're going to have a 2-point bonus question. And you're going to pick whether you think Francisco can get it correct or not. If he gets it correct, he's going to get redemption and get those 2 points. If not, Paul will get a chance to steal. Here's the 2-point bonus question. Robin, do you think Francisco will know, considering he didn't even know what roast beast was until recently?
Wow.
Who gets the first piece of roast beast at the end of the show when it's carved by the Grinch himself?
Oh, okay.
Will Francisco know?
Yeah, so that's the thing. So let's see. Francisco is my fellow millennial, but he, I think, might be a little bit cuspier on the Gen X side than me. Him only realizing about the roast beast, I feel like it's kind of a tricky question. But Francisco, I think I have faith in you, so I'm going to say yes.
Is it multiple choice?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, come on.
Imagine all the characters in...
I was about to say.
The Grinch, and that's your multiples you get to pick from.
Dang it. Oh, I don't remember her name. I'm pretty sure it's the little girl, like who girl or whatever.
Are you saying Cindy Lou Who, is no more than two?
Yeah, her. Yes, exactly her. Yeah, of course. Who else would it be?
Anybody else, because that's incorrect.
Dang it!
If Paul can't get it, that means Robin gets 2 points, and she could potentially win this game if you guys all go negative.
Ooh. I like that. It's never been done before. It's a plot twist.
Okay,
Paul strategy con. Let's see if it works out for
him. It's a Christmas miracle for Robin. Yes.
You get a chance to steal this question, and if you steal this, you're going to get the power as well. Who gets the first piece of roast beast?
I know the Grinch himself carves it, so if it's not Cindy Lou and the character has a name, I'm going to say the Grinch himself.
The Grinch himself is incorrect. Did Robin just steal the power?
Yes.
I think so.
He gets it correct. Robin, do you
done,
know?
Robin.
If I remember correctly, the plate lands with Cindy Lou Who, but then she gives it to Max, the dog.
That is correct.
Oh, well
I
done.
Almost said Max. Darn it.
Is yours. Sweet, Robin. Well done.
Thank you.
She knew all along.
In fairness, Robin did write this question. Okay, here we go. Moving on.
No,
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but does Robin actually have the power or?
No, you still have the power.
Oh, okay.
You just want me to say that, don't you?
I mean, sounds nice.
Back to you, Paul. Here's question number 3. Everybody who's anybody knows that Pat Morita was never in an episode of Taxi. However, who played Louis De Palma on the TV show Taxi? Will Robin know who played Louis De Palma on the sitcom TV show Taxi?
No.
Paul says no. Robin, who played Louis De Palma on the TV show Taxi?
Robert De Niro.
You talking to me?
No, he's about a foot shorter than him. Danny DeVito is the correct answer. Paul, you guessed correctly. That means you get a point. And here's your 2-point bonus question. The John Charles Walters Company produced the show. It had a post-credits production ID clip that they played at the very end of every episode of Taxi. It was their version of Sit, Ubu, Sit. Good dog. Anyways, at the end of the credits, the back of Mr. Walters is seen leaving his office while a female voice off-screen wishes him a good night with the words, "Night, Mr. Walters." Your question is, what is Mr. Walters' response? Hey, like that question.
Yeah.
This is multiple choice, my friend. Is Mr. Walters' response A, Mr. Walters merely groans in response? B, Mr. Walters just waves his hand and walks away saying nothing? C, Mr. Walters says something different every episode in order to make each episode unique, a trick they would later use when many on the show went on to make The Simpsons? Is it D, Mr. Walters would say, "Thank you very much," which was a catchphrase used by the late Andy Kaufman on the show and a tribute to him? Or is it E, Mr. Walters would flip her the bird, and on the series finale, he gave her both barrels? After all, the show is set in New York.
I'd like to phone a friend. And I'm going to ask Todd, do you know the answer, Todd?
I don't know, Margo.
Okay, sorry, Todd. You get slimed. I'm going to say he grumbles.
A mere groan in response is correct. Well done. The John Charles Walters Company was not a production company formed by some dude named John Charles Walters. In 1978, it was formed by 4 former employees of MTM Enterprises, James L. Brooks, David Davis, creative name, Stan Daniels, and Ed Weinberger. The foursome was part of the creative team that produced The Mary Tyler Moore Show, its spinoffs, as well as many other beloved Gen X shows like The Simpsons, both as a collective and as solo projects. James L. Brooks said that the company was named the John Charles Walters Company because the foursome, quote, wanted a venerable Protestant name. In their search, the partners discovered an old pub sign that said John Walters, and they rolled with it. In fact, the only known existence of Walters appears at the end credits of their shows. The back of Walters is seen leaving his office while a female voice off screen says, "Night, Mr. Walters," or "Merry Christmas, Mr. Walters," in the holiday theme episodes. Walters merely groans in response, but puts on his hat and he leaves. Ed Weinberger provided the voice of Walters during this sequence, and the woman is Weinberger's actual assistant.
Oh.
I love Taxi, and I just wanted to give it a little bit of love. That's all.
Yeah.
Only Pat Morita was in it.
I watch an episode of Taxi every night before I go to bed.
Really?
Song, like it sings me to sleep. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I imagine it still holds up.
You know, that show is a little unique. You know, you didn't see a lot of shows like it before this. being set in the garage, it was one of the forebears of more like workplace scenario sitcoms. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. You had Mary Tyler Moore Show, which was also in a workplace. Those same people had that same idea.
Okay.
I always consider it like a predecessor for Cheers kind of a thing.
Right.
Group of people in the work. Yeah.
Right. But they had such dark humor in
this. Yeah, exactly.
There was one episode I watched recently where the Sunshine Cab Company went out of business. And Louis was saying, like, the boss is a smart guy. If he's finding a solution to get himself out of this mess right now, and then you just hear a gunshot and it goes to commercial.
Like, oh, no.
That's the kind of comedy we had growing up during Gen X.
Right.
When they came back from commercial, they said, well, oh, he just shot his accountant.
Oh, okay.
That's how they accounted for the gunshot. But even so, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's still pretty dang dark. Anyways,
what are you talking about? They have that on Bluey nowadays. What are you
Robin, will you please give us a scoring update?
So Francisco has the power. He has 9 points. Paul J. Powers has 16.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I have you right where I want you, Paul J. Powers, to come.
Of course. Likewise.
Almost doubled up on the score, but there's plenty of game left, Francisco.
Right.
Having the power, that's a big advantage. Speaking of which, you get to pick between these two questions. Will it be, did Obi-Wan Kenobi write this Christmas question? Or will it be Cinema Soundcheck, which is a head-to-head challenge?
Head-to-head between me and Paul?
Of course.
That's the point of the game.
I'll do Cinema Soundcheck.
For this question, I'll give you the titles of tracks for a musical score of a popular Gen X movie, and you need to tell me the title of the movie that it's from. Movie scores are usually instrumentals with obscure titles, and that should give you the hints that you need to name the movie. We will go back and forth between each player, who will give me a new movie title on each turn. Points will be awarded to the player that gets it correct on their turn. There are 8 titles on the list, and the number of points you will receive with the correct answer will match the number of songs revealed. For example, if you get the movie title correct on song 3, you will get 3 points, song 4, 4 points, and so forth, all the way up to as many as 8 points to the final track. You'll need to think of your strategy on when you want to get it correct and score as many points as possible, but not let your opponent get it before you do. This is Francisco's question. You get the first song. The first song title is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas by Mel Torme. What movie is that in?
So many. let's see. Gen X Christmas movie. I'm going to say Full Metal Jacket.
The Christmas classic Full Metal Jacket. Judges?
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
That is incorrect.
Hey, there are troops in Vietnam during Christmas. It's possible.
That's true. But for this question, it's incorrect.
Oh, okay.
PaulJPowers.com. You get song number 2. It's called, maybe it is Full Metal Jacket, because this one's called Target Practice.
Yeah, I'm going to guess Home Alone.
Home Alone is fantastic guess. That's correct. That's with you, Francisco. The judges are angry, too. You got it off the second title.
Well, I could have got it off the first, but, you know, I gotta steal Francisco's points when I can.
All right. For those listening at home, Paul ruined the game for you. So let me list all the song titles so you can see when you would have gotten it. Song 1 was, of course, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Song 2, Target Practice. Song 3, Banished to the Attic. Song 4 was Making the Plane. Song 5 is Man of the House. Song 6 was The Attack on the House. 7 was Setting the Trap. And if you didn't get by then, song 8 was The Theme from Home Alone.
My favorite track on that is Making the Plane, because that's super fun on Black Friday, blasting that when you're trying to go through the traffic, or even like when you're running through an airport. Now, granted, I know in the movie Home Alone, Run, Run, Rudolph is running, playing while they're running through the airport, but it's a great song. John Williams knocked that out of the park with that soundtrack.
I think we picked the right movie for these aficionados of Home Alone. Well done, guys. Here's your fun fact. One of the best moments in Home Alone is when John Candy suddenly appears.
Yes.
At the height of his fame, John Candy did a cameo in this film. He worked just one day, and most of it was all improvised for his dialogue. Candy, playing the polka star Gus Polinski, took his role as a favor to movies producer and screenwriter John Hughes. Still, it turns out that John Candy didn't get a big payday for his cameo. According to reports, he received only, you guys want to take a guess on how much money he made?
$200.
$10,000.
$414 was all he got paid for a movie that grossed nearly $1 billion.
That's true.
They could have at least gave him a new Casio watch to thank him, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's only 2 points for you, Paul, because you got it on song 2. And you get this question. Oh, boy. Okay, here we go. Let's see how this works out.
Okay.
Song question is called, Did Obi-Wan Kenobi write this Christmas question? Speaking of A Christmas Carol, possibly the best adaptation of Charles Dickens' work was seen in the movie Scrooged. Bill Murray is haunted by three ghosts until he learns a valuable lesson about life and love. However, it is not just the three ghosts that are in the movie. Your question is, which of the following is not a true-ish statement about the ghosts in the movie Scrooged?
If it's a matter of opinion, no, go ahead.
Here you go. Which is not a true-ish statement about the ghosts in the movie Scrooged? Is it A, there is a ghost named Earl in the movie? B, there is a ghost named Lou in the movie? C, there is a ghost named Herman in the movie? D, the ghost of Christmas Past is played by David Johansen? Or is it E, the ghost of Christmas Past is played by Buster Poindexter? Which of those is not true? Ish.
Ish. Because of the ish, it makes me think that both D and E could be true. Ish. But I'm going to say D.
The Ghost of Christmas Past was played by David Johansen?
Correct.
The former lead singer of the New York Dolls? That's what you're going with?
Actually, wasn't Buster Poindexter the... Sorry, I haven't seen this movie in a long time, since the 90s. I'm going to say Buster Poindexter E is not true.
That is incorrect.
Darn it.
Francisco, here's a chance to score a bonus point here.
Okay.
And you can steal the power. Oh, never mind.
Is it A, there's a ghost named Earl in the movie? B, there's a ghost named Lou in the movie? C, there's a ghost named Herman in the movie? D, the ghost of Christmas Past was played by David Johansen? And we know E is incorrect. The same ghost played by the great Buster Poindexter.
I'm going to say D is not correct.
The ghost of Christmas Past was indeed played by David Johansen. You got that incorrect.
Wow. That's fine.
See, it's the ish.
Was it Herman?
There is a ghost named Herman in the movie.
Oh, okay.
The correct answer is A. There is not a ghost named Earl in the movie. Earl was the name of Bill Murray's character's father in the movie, if you remember. It gives him the 5 pounds of veal for Christmas.
But Daddy, I asked Santa for a choo-choo.
Well, then go out and get a job and buy a choo-choo.
Lou was the former president of IBC who came to warn Bill Murray. Mm-hmm. Herman was the homeless man who died in the movie, but we see him at the very end hanging out with Carol Kane, the ghost of Christmas Present, or AKA the witch from The Princess Bride.
Sorry.
And the ghost of Christmas Past was credited as David Johansen, but he was also professionally known as Buster Poindexter in the late 80s when the movie came out.
Okay.
Because he was so hot, hot, hot at the time.
He was. For sure, this is probably the most convoluted question, but true from a certain point of view.
So what I told you was true from a certain point of view.
Robin, will you please give us a scoring update?
Francisco has 9 points. Paul J. Powers has 18 points.
You've now doubled up, Paul.
Yes. Can I steal the power?
So we have the final two questions in the round. Francisco has the power. Did you really want to steal it, Paul?
Oh, we still have the final. Yeah, let me think about this.
Well, while you're thinking, Francisco, you get to pick between these two questions. Will it be, oh, fudge? Or will it be a brand new segment on the show, The Island of Misfit Toys Thunderdome?
Nice.
Which is a head-to-head challenge.
Let's do the head-to-head again. Thunderdome style, let's go.
Welcome to another edition of Thunderdome.
In this mini game, guests will take turns giving answers to the challenge topic. For each correct answer from either guest, 1 point will be put into the bank, and the player who wins the challenge will win all the points banked by both guests. In case of an unlikely tie, the guest with the power will win the bank.
Those odds.
Good strategy. Again, two guests enter, one guest leaves with all the points.
How many points?
All of them. The challenge topic in this episode is on the Island of Misfit Toys from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer Christmas Special. Mm-hmm. The stop-motion animation by Rankin Bass turned Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer into a long-running Christmas television special. It originally aired on NBC on December 6, 1964. So although it made kind of on the outside of the Gen X timeline, it was clearly adopted by our generation and it belongs to us now. Sorry, boomers. In the special, Rudolph and the gang find themselves on the Island of Misfit Toys and are surrounded by toys that feel like no boy or girl could possibly ever love them because they have an unfavorable quirk about them. Here's the challenge. You're going to choose a toy on the Island of Misfit Toys and describe its quirk. So you're going to go back and forth for each one you get. You're going to build a bank. Whoever can't go on dies in the Thunderdome, and the other one collects all the points.
Okay.
So Francisco, this was your question. So you need to describe a toy and its quirk.
Okay. So one of the toys at the Island of Misfit Toys, obviously, is the train with the square wheels. And so instead of trains, of course, have round wheels, not square ones.
That is correct. Over to you, Paul.
Well, nobody wants a Charlie in the Box. So I'm going to say the Charlie in the Box.
What's his quirk?
His name is Charlie, not Jack.
Okay. Francisco, back to you.
All right. There's also a squirt gun that shoots jelly instead of water.
Correct.
Darn it.
Paul?
You're getting all the ones I would get. I'll say the elephant with spots on it instead of no spots.
Like God made them. Yeah. That's correct. Back to you, Francisco.
All right. A little tougher now. I'm pretty sure there was Toy Soldier, but he didn't have a rifle. That was a quirk. Instead of, like, you know, Toy Soldiers should have rifles.
There were two Toy Soldiers, correct. Well done.
I'm going to say Sally, the doll, the rag doll. And the quirk was that nobody wanted her.
Correct. A dolly for Sue.
Gosh. There's this one, Erector set with a doll head that terrorized other toys.
You mean in Sid's bedroom?
What?
You know, from Toy Story.
No. But that was just a made up one. My real answer is the Griffin, and his quirk is that he's not one of the Misfit Toys, yet he's on Misfit Toy Island.
Judges, are we going to give him that? Is he a Griffin? You said he's a Griffin?
Yeah, he's like, his name's Griff, like Lion Griffin, or his name's like King Griffin or something.
Judges, Francisco down on points. We're going to give it to him.
Yes!
Not really a griffin. He's a lion.
Well, he has wings, doesn't he?
He does have wings.
Okay, then.
But that's wings. Not his name.
Right. Well, I didn't ask for the specific name. Is it described? It's just
All right.
His other quirk is that he has a name that's hard to remember. That's his other quirk.
Well, hold on. We'll disqualify it if Paul can know the name of the character.
Fair.
Did I ever mention that I'm old and I can't recall things?
Francisco said his quirk is no one can remember his name. So if Paul can remember his name, that's not really a quirk, is it?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, disqualify me, PaulDPowers.com.
It has something to do with the star, I think. I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay, we're going to give it to you, Francisco.
Yeah. You know what? Just give him the points because I can't think of any other toys.
King Moonracer was his name.
That's right.
Okay, Paul, it's down to you. Two guests enter, one guest leaves.
Yeah. You know what? I'm feeling generous with all the points I have. I'll let Francisco take a few.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dying time's here.
Appreciate that.
Well done, Francisco. You just scored 7 points for you, Francisco. Well done. You just caught up big time.
Bone saws ready.
So some of the other ones that are on the Island of Misfit Toys was a scooter for Jimmy. We would have accepted that. A cowboy who rides an ostrich.
That's right.
The bird that swims. He can't fly, right?
That's right. The puffin.
The boat that can't stay afloat.
Yes.
Okay. I remembered a boat, but I can't remember what his thing was. Okay.
Yes.
The one thing boats can do. That was his thing.
They sink.
Yeah.
It's a submarine.
What they're supposed to do. I guess. Hey. There's a winged bear. There's an airplane that cannot fly.
Oh, wow. We missed a bunch.
Yeah.
There's a wind-up mouse that has a set of nesting dolls, right? So there's the nesting dolls and the little mouse that comes out of it. And finally, there's a pink fire truck. So we gave you the point on this one for the rag doll, but let me tell you a little bit more about her.
No, it's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. A lot of people wonder what is wrong with the doll that's on the Island of Misfit Toys. The rag doll who lives on the island with the other misfit toys, such as Charlie in the Box and the spotted elephant and the bird that can't fly, has no outward sign of anything out of the ordinary about her, and that has left us wondering. It turns out the doll barely appears in the original script, so the author did not explain why she was on the island. But over the years, as the special was revised and revisited, the doll got more screen time and more lines. One of the producers behind the special, Arthur Rankin himself, says her problems are psychological from being rejected by her former owner, Sue. Dolly had depression and is a reminder that not all problems people have are visible from the outside. In fact, most people's issues in their lives are completely invisible from the outside. It is a reminder, especially at this time of year, to be extra kind to those who might seem a little unusual or have trouble conforming to the social norms of the day. Because far too many are fighting a war within them that only they know about. Remember, everyone, it costs you nothing to be kind.
I love you, PaulJPowers.com.
I love you too, but I'm sad now.
And because I am incapable of just letting a little moment of seriousness rest, let's talk about what kind of an a-hole Santa was in this show.
Oh, yeah. Well, and all everybody was.
Yeah. It's already been said how Santa is portrayed as an intolerant bigot towards Rudolph up until there is something in it for him. To accept Rudolph's nose as it is and to exploit his quirk for Santa's own agenda. But something recently came to my attention at the end of the show. Remember when Santa comes back to the island Misfit Toys and picks them all up to deliver them to kids that will love them?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of walking them to the stockings with care, as he does all the other toys, he only supplies them with an umbrella and chucks them off the sled.
Yep.
Sure, it's assumed that the umbrellas will break their fall and that they will arrive to their new home safely. But take a closer look when it's time for the bird's time to go.
Yeah.
He is given no umbrella. Remember, his quirk is the bird who can't fly.
Right.
And Santa is so wrapped up in his own world that he assumes that every bird can fly, so why waste the umbrella? See a bird. Ah! It'd be like throwing a penguin out of an airplane. Worst Santa ever.
Maybe he conferred some of his Christmas magic and made the bird flyable. Not flyable. Able to fly.
That is not canon, Francisco. I'm taking my Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer claymation specials very seriously.
All right. That's fair. That's I can respect that, Zabe.
Well done on surviving the Thunderdome, Francisco.
Thank you. Over to you,
PaulJPowers.com. You get the question that's called, Oh, Fudge. It is a movie question. A Christmas Story is a classic for families when we're all growing up. As kids, we got the coming-of-age story, complete with the soft glow of electric sex gleaming from the window. And our folks got yet another nostalgic movie about their generation. A truly win-win for the holiday. We all remember that Ralphie wanted a Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas. But do you remember the name of the villain he defeats in his fantasy about owning the BB gun? Was it A?
Go ahead.
Did you say B? B is incorrect.
No, I didn't.
I could have. Judges, should we replay that? Okay. Was it A, Scott Farkas? B, Grover Dill? C, Black Bart? B, Bald Bull? Or is it E, the Hamburglar?
As I was saying, it's Black Bart.
Black Bart is, of course, correct. Well done. I feel like that was a softball for you, Paul.
Yes, thank you.
For some reason, the whole gang is dressed like the Hamburglar.
Rabble, rabble?
Yeah. The correct answer is C, Black Bart. Here's your fun fact. Did you know Jack Nicholson was being considered for the role of the father in this movie?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I can't really picture this movie without Darren McGavin as the old man Parker. I'm sure it would have been interesting to see Jack Nicholson battle it out with the old furnace, spewing nonsense curse words, but I think they got it right in this case.
Not a finger!
But that's the end of round two. Give us a scoring update, Robin.
Before she does that, I'd like to steal the power.
Before he does that, I want to steal the power.
No, I called it.
Okay, Paul, you want to steal the power? Let's take one last listen to it, and then we're going to get your answers, okay?
Okay.
The fight date been set yet?
December 25th.
Hey, look, that one's got a cute little stripe on its head.
Heart to heart and hand in hand.
You are trespassing on the lands of the Winter Warlock.
So for 20 points and the power, let's hear them 1 through 5, Paul.
All right. I'm only doing this as a strategy to try to, maybe I can snipe it away from Francisco. I'm hoping I'm right, but it's a long shot. This is my Hail Mary for the power here. So here we go. Number one, Rocky IV. Oh, number two is Gremlins. Three is How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the 60s version.
What is the name of that song?
I'm sorry, what is the name of the song?
Yeah.
Oh, fudge.
We'll come back to that one. What's clip four?
Clip four, this is the one that I'm struggling with. I'll say A Year Without Santa Claus, and then Well, five is Francisco's favorite song ever, so I'll let him get that one.
I mean, the song, I'm not sure. The movie is Charlie Brown Christmas, but Christmas Time Is Here, I think, is just the name of the song.
Do you know the name of the song for clip three? To be clear, we're just doing this part for fun because you can't steal the power.
You know, honestly, I don't think I could get number three. Number four is actually Santa Claus Is Coming Into Town, not Years Without a Santa Claus.
Oh, good job.
But number three, I wouldn't know either.
Is it? I know it's Welcome Christmas, but is there more to the title than that?
Welcome Christmas is correct.
Okay.
Team effort.
Yeah.
I think we can split the 10 points.
Yeah, sure. Or we'll split the 0 points.
Or that too. Yeah, we could do that.
End of round two. Robin, please give me a scoring update.
All right. Francisco definitely caught up some ground. 16 points for Francisco, 20 points for Paul J. Powers.
All right.
I never had the power, but you know what? It's in my last name, so I don't need more.
That's a good point. Yes.
Congratulations, PaulJPowers.com. You have the most points at the end of round two. That means you and I are going to take a secret trip to the prize vault where you are going to select the prize that the two of you will be playing for in the final round. While we do that, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
The Smurfs Christmas Special will return after these messages.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're enjoying the show so far, please consider giving us a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from, and subscribing for future episodes. The only way a show like this gets anywhere in the podcasting world is by positive reviews and word of mouth amongst friends. So, if you're inclined, please help spread the word about the podcast and share it with that special Gen Xer in your life. We'd love to have you as a friend of the show. Thanks so much!
So who's gonna save a generation? Are you gonna save a
We now return to the Smurfs Christmas Special.
Round three.
Round three is a prize round called Dysfunctional Family Feud. In this final round, I will ask the same 5 survey questions, Family Feud style, to each player in turn, and they will need to respond with what they think are the most popular responses from the Generation X timeline. It's the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. These are actual survey questions taken from actual people from Generation X that have been quizzed by the show via our newsletter. The player who has the power, that's you, Francisco, gets to go first, with player 2 unable to hear their responses. Player 2 will then need to give responses to the same 5 survey questions and beat the other player's score without duplicating any of their answers. Whoever ends up with the most points wins the game and goes on to claim their chance at a prize that Paul has selected in secret. Gen Xers, if you'd like to take part in the Dysfunctional Family Feud surveys, sign up for our newsletter on our website, and it will include a spot for you to reply to upcoming surveys. After the episode, head over to whowillsavegenx.com and get your answers on the show. Let's play Dysfunctional Family Feud.
Mm. Oh, Francisco might get the prize that I chose. Okay, yes. Interesting.
Better have been good, Paul.
Well, I hope you like something used.
It is eBay. Francisco has the power, and he gets to go first. That means we have to send Paul to the Phantom Zone. Bye-bye, Paul.
All right, here we go.
Your time will begin when I finish reading the first question. Name a villain from a Christmas TV special.
Winter Warlock.
Name an artist or band that came out with a Christmas album during the Gen X timeline.
Beach Boys.
Name a specific kind of Christmas decoration that was common when we were kids that you just don't see too much anymore.
The big Christmas bulbs, like the bulky big Christmas bulbs.
The chonky bulbs.
Yeah, that's a better way of describing this.
What TV sitcom family would you most like to spend Christmas with?
Married with Children.
What's the name of that family?
I don't know their name. That's their last name. Married with Children. Love and Marriage. Love and Marriage. Goes together with the horse and carriage. It's a very long last name. The Bundys.
Okay. You got it. Name the misfit toy from the Island of Misfit Toys that you would want the most.
The train with the square wheels.
Let's bring back in pauljpowers.com.
I'm out of the fam zone. Not something Neil before zone.
I get it.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very happy to be here.
I'm very happy to be here.
Are you?
You lack discipline.
Welcome back.
All right, Paul. I'm going to ask you the same five questions I asked Francisco. You may not duplicate any of his answers, or you'll hear this sound, and I'll ask you for another answer.
Okay.
Your time will begin when I finish reading the first question. Name a villain from a Christmas TV special.
Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ebenezer what? What's his middle initial? Full answer. I'm just kidding. Name an artist or band that came out with a Christmas album during the Gen X timeline.
Mariah Carey. That wasn't Gen X. Sorry.
Name a specific kind of Christmas decoration that was common when we were kids that you just don't see very much anymore.
Tinsel.
What TV sitcom family would you most like to spend Christmas with?
Well, it's not the Cosbys anymore. Growing Pains?
Is that the name of a family?
Oh, the Seavers. I don't know.
And finally, name the misfit toy from the Island of Misfit Toys that you would want the most.
A gun that squirts jelly.
Feeling hungry? Is that why?
I don't know. It seems convenient with my peanut butter shaker here.
I have a peanut butter cannon. I need a jelly gun to go with.
Yes, exactly.
All right, the scores have been tabulated. Let's go find out who won. Question one was, name a villain from a Christmas TV special.
PaulJPowers.com, you gave us Scrooge, worth 15 points.
Okay.
Francisco, you gave us Winter Warlock, which didn't make the survey. 0 points.
What was that from?
Santa Claus is coming to town, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Burgermeister Burger is up there.
Oh, yeah, the Heatmeister and all. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, that's a different one, but yeah.
The number one answer was the Grinch.
Oh, jeez.
Going into round three, Francisco had 16 points and Paul J. Powers had 20 points. We're going to add that to your total for question one, which brings the score to Francisco with 16 points and Paul J. Powers with 35 points. So Paul has a 19-point lead going into question
two. Well done, Paul. Wow.
We get the information for the surveys via our newsletter, and we get some interesting replies. So I'd like to give some of the honorable mentions to some of these entertaining answers. Honorable mention goes to, as a villain for a Christmas special, General Warhawk from the Rambo Christmas special. That one slipped by me, I think. Another villain somebody put was Mariah Carey as a villain. And finally, I think the one we can all agree on is Sue, the girl that rejected the doll from the Island of Misfit Toys.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah.
I thought Santa Claus was more of a villain in that story, but okay.
Question two was, name an artist or band that came out with a Christmas album during the Gen X timeline.
Paul, you gave us Mariah Carey. Not really from the Gen X timeline, but still worth 25 points.
Yeah. It was the 90s, so. Sure.
Francisco, you gave us Beach Boys. Also not from Gen X, but worth 0 points. And I'd be furious if I was Francisco.
Beach Boys is way more Gen X than Mariah Carey, but whatever.
The number one answer was Wham and or George Michael.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Francisco is 44 points behind.
Honorable mentions go to Emmett Otter's Jug Band. Someone told me that there was a Striper Christmas album out there somewhere. I'd like to hear that one. Someone mentioned Neil Diamond because Jewish men make the best Christmas albums.
I have that album.
Question three was, name a specific kind of Christmas decoration that was common when we were kids that you just don't see much anymore.
Paul, you gave us tinsel, which was our number one answer, worth 32 points.
Yeah.
Francisco, you gave us, I think we landed on chonky bulbs. It did make our survey, though. It's worth 15 points.
15. That's a lot better than your previous answer.
Really?
Sorry.
Francisco is 61 points behind.
Honorable mentions on this one go to, somebody wrote, angel hair.
That's what people called, apparently. The pasta they eat. No, the tinsel, for some reason.
But I've there heard was that a white recently. Version. There's like, it is white and not silvery.
Oh, interesting.
That looked
maybe
like
it was
snow.
Like slightly yellow, and so that they would just put the pasta over.
Next, no, we had someone who said, any ornament given out by a cigarette company.
Oh.
And finally, asbestos snow.
Ew, yeah.
I got a real quick story. We had a what they call a popcorn ceiling.
Yeah, yeah.
In our house when I was a kid. And to simulate the planet Hoth for my Star Wars action figures,
no way.
Would scrape the popcorn ceiling and watch the particles fall onto my Han, and Chewbacca figures and have a great time.
And you didn't get in trouble?
Dude, it was Gen X. You think my parents knew anything I was up to or what I was doing?
All right. Fair enough.
I don't remember getting in trouble for it, so I think I got away with it. Question four was, what TV sitcom family would you most like to spend Christmas with?
Paul, you gave us the Seavers, worth 3 points.
Hey! I'm on the board. I'm surprised.
Francisco, you gave us the Bundys, which was worth 5 points.
Oh, you beat me. Good job.
The Bundys beat out the Seavers.
The number one answer was the Huxtables. You probably don't want to drink the eggnog at the Christmas party, though.
Good call.
It's funny. I also think of them as the Cosbys.
Well, that's the name of the show.
Wait, they're not the Cosbys?
No, they're the Huxtables. Dr. Huxtable, yeah.
All right. Weird.
Which is weird because they call it the Cosby Show, but nobody on the show is named Cosby.
Francisco is 59 points behind.
You're creeping up, Francisco.
Just little by little, like slow and steady wins. Well, nothing probably at this point, but maybe.
Shout out to this one. Somebody mentioned the kids from Square Pegs.
Oh.
The Costanzas for Festivus. And someone went to great detail to say that they wanted to spend Christmas with Mama's family, but only from the cast from the Carol Burnett Show and not the series.
Yeah.
And finally, someone wanted to celebrate Christmas at the Korean War Hospital and hang out with the crew of the 4077 in the MASH unit.
Oh, interesting.
No, thanks. I don't even want to watch the show, let alone spend Christmas there. And it all comes down to our final question. Name the misfit toy from the Island of Misfit Toys that you would want the most.
You got this, Francisco.
60
sure. points.
Sure. Yeah, I got this in the bag.
Yeah.
Paul, you gave us the gun that squirts jelly.
Yeah.
It's worth 17 points.
All right. I'm on the board.
Which means, Francisco, you only need 75 points to
win. Oh, only? Oh, the breeze.
You can do this. It is possible.
It might happen. Yeah, and monkeys might fly out of my butt.
Hey, guys, the number one answer is still on the board. I want to point that out.
Right.
Francisco, you gave us train with square wheels.
But let's see, what did Gen X say?
Survey said.
Worth 16 points.
Oh,
sadness.
Final score total. That brings our score to 52 Francisco, 112 PaulJPowers.com.
Congratulations, Paul. You have won the game, and that means you are doing your part to save Generation X. Well done.
I just want to say it was a pleasure to be on. I am honored to have won this prize. I'm sorry, Paul couldn't be here to accept it, but I'm going to take it in his
I don't know if you want this prize.
I was just about to say that. I'm sorry, Francisco, that things didn't go quite your way this episode. I was rooting for you.
Quite your way.
Went
very not my way.
I was hoping, honestly, that you would win, Francisco, because that would mean that we'd have to have you guys on a third time to break the tie.
Yes.
But now there's no need, because you know who the real winner is.
Ain't gonna be no rematch.
the wall.
Just means I need to train harder. Maybe I need to team up with Paul too, and we can run on the beach or something, and like I can get his knowledge of Gen X
in a montage.
In a montage, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Just please don't wear those dolphin shorts when you do it. Robin, what was the number one answer?
The number one answer was the Charlie in the Box.
But nobody wants a Charlie in the Box.
How would you like to be a spotted elephant?
Or a water pistol and shoot jelly?
We're all misfits.
For winning the game, I offer a chance for the prize by me placing bids on my eBay watch list on the winner's behalf. I will place multiple bids on the listing chosen in secret by Paul until I'm the high bidder. If that bid holds up until the end of the auction, then I will buy that for Paul and I'll have it shipped out to you. Good luck.
Thank you. Let's take
a look at all the prizes Paul had to choose from. Before we do the prize vault, I need to announce that sadly, the holdover item of a dried booger that looks like a Klingon bird of prey that some lunatic put up on eBay is no longer available. For purchase. Oh, darn.
I was going to actually pick that and hope Francisco won.
You were going to pick that booger? Is that what you
yes,
said?
Yes, exactly. Okay.
The first item in the prize vault is a Christmas Story spatula set of three themed movie baking utensils. So it's like a plastic spatula with stuff written on them. Fun movie related phrases are printed on them. And yes, one does say, oh, fudge on it.
Nice.
However, the listing does not say what other phrases are on them. And the pictures are no help. So let's assume that the other ones will say something along the lines of like, I double dog dare you and not a finger. Next, we continue to support our fellow Gen Xer selling on eBay named Suzanne Fosty -5. She has a horrible name, but wonderful, wonderful items. Her hand-painted Gen X pop culture items are here on eBay. And here we offer an adorable painting of Max from How the Grinch Stole Christmas, wearing a Santa hat and looking like he's about to eat his roast beast. We also have the misfit Bumble looking sheepish and feeling for his now missing teeth. These can all be found on eBay under the seller Suzanne Foss -5. Once again, terrible name, beautiful paintings. This Star Wars Disney Life Day t-shirt is a simple and elegant design of Wookiees standing around in red robes staring at an orb for some reason. It will remind you to take time out of your life to gather with loved ones and appreciate all the good things you have in life. Like glass orbs. Speaking of glass orbs, we have this one for you. It's an official Star Wars Galaxy's Edge Wookiee Life Day orb. It's a Christmas ornament that I'm sure you'll treasure for years to come, but it just means you'll have to put up the tree on November 17th every year. Next is a advent calendar from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. The listing says that it is a used advent calendar. And the thing you really look for in an advent calendar is one that's already been used.
Yeah.
See, that way you know it already works.
Tried and tested.
We know you guys love the old video games, so to celebrate Home Alone this episode, we are offering this Home Alone 2 Lost in New York Super NES cartridge. The listing says that it worked the last time he played it, and it's like, yeah, no duh. Every game worked the last time you played it.
Now you're home alone with power. Superpower.
Here we have an actual plush rag doll that Sue rejected from the Island of Misfit Toys. Pay no attention to the fact that it looks very little like the actual doll on the show, and this one may not have mental illness, but she needs a home, not an umbrella. And the last item, what Christmas episode prize vault would be complete without the granddaddy gift of them all? Yes, that's right. A Red Ryder carbon action 200 shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock and this thing which tells time. Please note that the thing that tells time is not included in this Red Ryder BB gun. But it is a real Red Ryder BB gun.
I hope that's what you picked, Paul.
Paul, please tell us what item you picked and why.
I have a record for picking the most ridiculous items. And the most ridiculous item that I found here was the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation Advent Calendar. Actually, it looks like some of the figurines that may or may not come with it actually look like they might be kind of fun. But this says it's missing a few figures, but I'm hoping it also includes a few figures. It doesn't say it doesn't, but...
Well, it looks nothing like the Advent Calendar we see in the movie.
Yeah, that's true, which is a good... thing.
Oh, Francisco, okay. Why would they have an advent calendar in the movie of the movie?
No, the one that you see in the movie they're opening, I want that advent calendar.
Oh, yeah, that makes more sense.
why isn't this?
I thought they just had in movie product placement ready to go.
Yeah, like Spaceballs.
Yeah.
Okay, let's bid this sucker up. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're the top bidder.
Oh, nice.
Imagine that.
At $4.99 and $8.65 shipping.
Oh, geez.
Wow. That's a lot of shipping.
Yeah. So you know the parts are really in there because it must be heavy, or they're just, you know, grifting us for shipping charges.
Yeah.
Right.
If this bid holds up until the end of the auction, I'll buy it for you, Paul. Good luck.
Thanks.
Oh, skunked again.
Hey, guys. Do you have any shout-outs or things you'd like to plug here on the show?
Why do I, Zabe? So something I'd like to shout out for, me and Paul, we do a podcast together called The Retro Rayon Podcast. Zabe, you've been on it. Your awesome wife's been on it as well. It's a lot of fun. We take a look at movies and games that are 15 years or older and let you know whether they're still worth re-watching today. Currently in the middle of a site move, I'm moving Retro Rewind Podcast as well as some other creative endeavors under a studio name of Firejoy Studios, which you can get to at firejoystudios.com. RetroRewindPodcast.com will also get you to the podcast still. A big reason for this change is that I'm also in the middle of designing a board game called Junkyard Juggernauts, which Zabe alluded to earlier. If you've ever played a game like Chrono Trigger or the Final Fantasy games where there's this, it's very fantastical, but there's also like robots and stuff. That's sort of the idea of, or the theme of the game. You play as four magic powered siblings that are able to use their magic to construct these robots from parts they see in a junkyard to go and save the land from a warlord that has invaded it. So, and check that out at junkyardjuggernauts.com.
And it's a board game, right?
And it's not a board game. Yes, it's a board game. That's a great tip, Paul. Yes.
Yeah.
It's not as much as Paul wants it to be a video game. He's like, when is the video game version coming out? No, Paul. But it is a board game. It's 1 to 4 players and currently in the process of playtesting it, hoping to get it kickstarted soon.
I watched the video of the playtesting and it looks like a lot of fun.
Oh, you know, thank you.
When someone says, hey, I'm going to make your my own board game, it's easy to dismiss them as like, okay, sure, like let's pat them on the head and oh, that's really cute. But the level of detail and the arts and the love that has gone into this, Francisco's not messing around. So it looks like a lot of fun. It's
thank
a game
you.
I know I'd like to play.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Francisco.
Yeah, thank you, Zabe.
You know, listeners, we have a lot of people on the show who also have podcasts. And while I also appreciate their shows and want to support them, I really love Retro Rewind Podcast. This Aww. Is not a me just being a kind host. I love their show. I love tuning into their live broadcast that they do on Twitch and writing in the comments. It's just it's a good time. They have an outstanding rating system to judge their shows. And it gets you thinking. And I love it. I can't recommend it highly enough. So please go and check that out.
Thank you so much, Sam.
You're full of beans and so is your old man.
Paul, what do you got to tell us about today?
Well, I am pauljpowers.com. You can find me and all my social media links, what I'm up to lately, at pauljpowers.com. If I ever move my site, you can still find me at pauljpowers.com.
And I want to say, Paul is actually working on, he's an amazing illustrator. He's working on some of the illustrations for Junkyard Juggernauts. And you can check him out. You're streaming, you try to stream every day, but it doesn't always happen. But definitely check out twitch.tv/pauljpowers.com spelled out, right, Paul? .com.
But you know what? You can find Twitch and any link of mine at pauljpowers.com.
PaulJPowers.com.
I don't know if you want to add more posts to your plate, Zay, but something I noticed since you're on Patreon, I don't know if you want to promote maybe having people gift memberships to you, because apparently that's a thing.
That is
look up Patreon gift memberships to other fans. Apparently you can do that.
Well, if I gift it, do I know who I'm gifting to? Is it kind of like those, you know, adoptive children out in Africa where they send you a picture so you know who you're sending money to?
Maybe that's how we got program for fans.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how we got two British listeners. Somebody gifted someone to randos. I don't even listen to this show. Why are you gifting me podcast subscription?
It just seemed like since it's a Christmas episode, you could say, hey, give the gift of Who Will Save Generation X podcast to a fellow Gen X or something like that. I don't know.
Okay. I might put that in post, or I might just use the audio you just said.
Sure, do that.
Hey, I would love people to gift the show for Christmas. I mean, you know, that special Gen Xer in your life, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It makes a great gift. Thank you for checking out the show. We know you have a plethora of choices for your podcasting enjoyment, and it is simply amazing that you chose to spend a little time on our show. Thank you. If you like what we're doing here and you'd like to contribute directly to the show, we have a Patreon account set up at patreon.com/whowillsavegenx. At our Patreon site, you'll see special offers for becoming a contributor to the show, so take advantage of those if you are interested. I mean, it is Christmas time, you know what I'm saying? If you'd like, you can head over to whowillsavegenx.com and learn all about the ways you can do your part to save Generation X from being forgotten. But if you're feeling like a slacker at the moment, you can just email me and I promise to write you back with all the details you could ever want. You can reach me, Robin, or any of the judges at whowillsavegenx@gmail.com. In either case, thanks so much for listening. Well, that's it for the episode. Thanks again for checking out our show. We welcome you to share this episode with that special Gen Xer in your life and subscribing to the show for future episodes where we will once again ask the question, who will save Generation X? Later.
Well, dudes, I'd say that's pretty much a wrap. Yep. Cowabunga?
Cowabunga!
Yeah!
Yeah!
Cowabunga!
Hey, everybody. Real quick before we say goodbye, since this is the last episode of 2024, and it is the holidays, I thought it would be appropriate to spend just a moment to say thank you for spending the last year with us listening to our show. I mean it, really. Thank you. I think I speak for many of us when I say 2024 was a rough year, and who knows what 2025 has in store for each of us. However, I do know that we'll still be here to bring you some fun and games, nostalgia, and maybe a few laughs along the way. I know we have not turned out as many episodes this year as we have in years past. Please trust us when we say that we are working hard to turn out episodes more frequently, but life gets in the way. We have a ton of content already recorded and just can't seem to get enough hours in the day to get them out to you quickly. But this labor of love takes a lot of time to get it to you to the level that you have come to expect and enjoy. We call this show the world's most edited podcast for a reason. Each episode takes Robin and I about 40 to 60 hours to make. Podcasting is no joke, but we promise to get everything out to you just as fast as we can. We would not be able to do this at all without our generous Patreon supporters backing us, and I'd like to especially thank all of them who stuck with us this past year. So if you'll indulge me for a moment, a special shout out to Patreon supporters Samantha Shagolin, Adam, Paul and Rachel, April Zabo, Salem, PaulJPowers.com, Mike and Ella, Darren G and Darren F, Michael M, Chris A and Chris S, Tommy, our youngest Patreon, Gen Z representin', the great Mitch Porter, Ed, we'll have you on the show soon, buddy, Jeremy, Diana, Lori and what's-his-name from Accelerated Culture Podcast, thank you for your support. Matt Williams, Mary Beth, you rule. Pi, Stephanie, my buddy Steve K. Preston, we want you on the show soon too, my friend. Jess, Sean, and where would we be without my good friend Michael Gibbs? I'm sure that I've overlooked others, and my apologies if I've missed anyone, but I'd like to thank as well to all those who subscribed at some point over this past year, but had to move on. I get it, and thank you just the same for all your past support and friendship. And a thank you as well to all of those who like the show but are not in a position to support it financially. I'd like to thank all of our free subscribers on Patreon. Turns out that's a thing. Who knew? You can subscribe for free and follow the show. We still need to figure out something for those people, but that'll have to wait until 2025 at this point. It's Christmas Eve as I'm recording this. You might be thinking, Zabe, it's Christmas Eve. You should be spending it with your friends and family. To which I reply, I am with my friends and family. All of you. It's late anyways, the house is quiet, my family is asleep, and my daughter's stocking is waiting for her in the morning. I've already said too much about what kind of hand life has dealt me in 2024. And I'm so deeply grateful to all of you, my friends, for taking the time to listen to the show and hopefully feel the same kind of love for me as I feel from all of you. Your love, kindness, and generosity is not overlooked. And I appreciate all of you. It is a reminder to me that this holiday season is a time to take stock in your life of the things and people that bring you joy. A time to be thankful and kind to your neighbor, even the boomers and the two British listeners of the world. I hope you'll join me in taking some time this Christmas or whatever holiday you choose to celebrate to reach out to others and show them some love, however best you can. Be it gifts or an act of kindness or simply calling up an old friend to check on them and saying, I care about you. I feel in doing so, you'll fulfill the spirit of the season and be better off for your efforts. Well, that's enough mushy stuff for now. On behalf of myself, Robin, and all of the judges, we want to wish you and your families a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and have a great New Year. We will see you all in 2025 with all brand new episodes as we try to answer the question together of who will save Generation X. Love, your pal, Zabe.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Walters.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.